This is the Well-Being Report on WDIY, discussing the vital conditions for health and well-being in the Lehigh Valley. Featuring WDIY's Margaret McConnell and Dr. Samantha Schock, Executive Director at the Leonard Parker Poole Institute for Health. Now, here's Margaret and Samantha.
Hello and welcome to the Wellbeing Report. I'm your co-host, Margaret McConnell, the Executive Director at WDIY. On this show, we talk about the local drivers that impact health and wellness and the collective efforts by the Leonard Parker Poole Institute for Health and Lehigh Valley Health Network in addressing community health. As always, to continue this discussion, I welcome my co-host, Samantha Schock, the Executive Director at the Leonard Parker Poole Institute for Health.
Hi, Margaret. Good to be with you. So just as a reminder for our listeners of what we talked about on our last episode, we were speaking about lifelong learning. Lifelong learning, according to colleagues at the Ripple Foundation and Community Commons and the Wellbeing Trust, really emphasizes the importance of education for all individuals across all age groups, backgrounds, and ability. It's about providing a good education that ensures people are set up for success and have opportunities to reach their full potential. So efforts in this area are really focused on addressing those disparities in access to educational opportunities across the lifespan. And we often conceptualize this as a cradle to college or career pathway. So last month, we started on one end of that continuum and talked about early childhood and the critical nature of that birth to five period of development, being in environments that provide quality education opportunities and that are appropriate for age and development and are free of trauma, really have a significant impact on our ability to thrive over time and to take advantage of future educational opportunities. And so today...
Yes, what are we talking about today?
Today we are going to pivot to the other end of the continuum and talk a little bit about, as children get older, opportunities to go into different college or career pathways. So we talked a little bit about this during Meaningful Work and Wealth. But really, we're going to dig in deeper today and look at some of what Lehigh Valley Health Network does in terms of providing opportunities for youth in our community.
And to talk more about LVHN's efforts, joining us are Carrie Green and Lisa Liddington from Lehigh Valley Health Network, now a part of Jefferson Health. Welcome. Lisa is the Chief Operating Officer of LVH's Hecktown Oaks facility, where she leads strategic operations and clinical excellence across the campus. She has more than 25 years of experience in nonprofit and healthcare leadership. Lisa's championed initiatives that address social determinants of health and improve access to care for vulnerable populations. She previously served as vice president of the 17th Street location for LVHN and directed the Child Advocacy Center at Lehigh Valley Riley Children's Hospital. Carrie Green is the education director at Lehigh Valley Health Network. As an accomplished healthcare education leader, she has nearly a decade of experience at LVHN. As Director of Healthcare Career Development, she spearheads strategic partnerships and curriculum development to address workforce needs, collaborating across HR, operations, academia, and the community.
Carrie and Lisa, thanks for being with us tonight. Let's start with you, Carrie. And can you share with us a little bit about what lifelong learning means to you in the context of healthcare workforce development?
Sure. When we think of healthcare and we think of workforce development, our mind goes to really just having people that have a growth mindset and the opportunity to be a student for life.
Lisa, what would you add to that?
Yeah, I think very similarly, we think it's about building a mindset of curiosity and service, striving to expand teamwork and patient care, improve patient care services across the network. And really for our students, we think, you know, this starts now. We want students to understand that learning doesn't just happen in the classroom. It happens with your experiences outside of the classroom.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yep.
So we're going to first dig into the Healthcare Futures Program. Lisa, you oversee the Healthcare Futures Program, which is unique in that it engages students while they're still in high school. What motivated LVHN to invest in this age group, and what gap does it fill in the larger education to career pipeline?
The Healthcare Futures Program is designed to address two pressing challenges facing the healthcare industry in Pennsylvania. One is a critical shortage of entry-level healthcare workers, and also the lack of career-aligned graduation pathways for high school students in underserved communities. So Healthcare Futures is designed to help Allentown youth secure entry-level employment upon graduation. And so what we want to do is provide hands-on experience with these foundational careers prior to high school graduation so we can expose kids to all the different roles that are available to them. And then we help support them in securing positions within the healthcare industry after graduation.
Really cool. How long has this program been going?
So the program's been going on for about 2 years now.
Okay.
We've had two full school years, with students there. So what we do with Healthcare Futures is really focus on students who are on a direct-to-work path. So these are kids who are not, for whatever reason, focused on going on to post-secondary education after high school. So we're really hoping to hone in with those students and help expose them to different opportunities that are available to them. So many different jobs in healthcare. Mm-hmm. I've been at the Health Network for almost 8 years. Carrie's been there for many years as well. And every day I learn about a new job that we have at the Healthcare Network. And so, you know, it's not a burden. It's the opportunity for us is to educate students about all these different opportunities that are there for them.
Yeah.
It's like its own little ecosystem in and of itself, right? The
Absolutely.
Number and types of roles and jobs that exist within a healthcare system when you look across the board is truly impressive.
Right. Yeah. Once students are accepted into the program, there's a rotation, right? There's a 6-week
Correct.
Rotation. So what does that look like? And can you walk us through the departments they visit and the kinds of skills they start to build?
Sure, absolutely. So students rotate through 3 different departments. Typically, there are 2 clinical departments. So think about like a medical surgical unit or the pharmacy or inpatient rehab. And then we also have them rotate through a non-clinical department like supplies distribution or now we're even getting into areas like marketing or human resources. So things that are not clinically focused. So we want students to gain exposure in all these different areas. They learn about hospital operations and all different patient care environments. And I think what's really unique about the program, too, is very intentionally when students come into their roles, they spend the first week of their rotation with the leader of that department so that they really get to see the big picture and how that person not only got to, you know, become that role and fulfill that role, so their career journey, but also looking at, you know, broader aspects around staffing and patient care, safety and quality. So they have this relationship with the director. They form almost like a mentor-mentee relationship. Mm-hmm. And then the second week of their rotation, they spend directly shadowing the entry-level job. So they can see exactly what every day is like. They can learn from that person what they like about the job, what maybe they don't like about the job. And so what we hope kids come out of this with is really an idea of, you know, what do they want to do? We want to help them figure it out. It's just as valuable to learn about things you don't want to do coming out of this experience, right? Like maybe patient care is not for me, but maybe a non-clinical role is something that interests the students. So we really want to help them gain that broad exposure.
Yeah, that's why I always encourage internships, because you may find just doing a summer internship that is not what you
Precisely.
Want to spend the rest of your life doing.
Yep, precisely.
I believe you're a candy striper for a day.
A day. One day. I was a
that
candy
was
striper,
yeah.
And then I knew. So the program has now been running for a few years. I think you said 2. What impact are you beginning to see in the lives of students and their career choices, or even in how schools and families think about healthcare as a pathway?
Oh, that's a great question. It's really exciting as we're getting, you know, through our second year. So we've had 76 students participate in the 6-week internship, so over 2 school years, as we described. 32 of them have been hired into healthcare roles. And then the remaining, I would say the significant number of remaining students were students who did sort of change their pathway and decided to pursue post-secondary education, which is terrific. So again, you know, we're helping kids kind of figure out what they want to do. We also stay in touch with students who maybe took a pause. They didn't apply for positions right away. They're, you know, still, you know, maybe working in a different role, thinking about healthcare. So we provide up to a year of support for those students, too, after they graduate.
Oh, wow.
Providing also workshops around interview, how to prepare for job interviews, how to write your resume, you know, so all kinds of soft skills support is still available to them after they graduate.
Those are really critical skills that they'll be able to use in any job that they go into.
Yep.
Can you talk a little more about what that after the internship process looks like in terms of applying for jobs and positions? And you don't guarantee that necessarily, but you guarantee them the opportunity. Is that correct?
Absolutely. So every student that participates in the program is guaranteed an interview for the entry-level job that they apply for. So we partner with our human resources colleagues to ensure that those students get to sit down, have the interview, get that experience, which is so important to have that first face-to-face interview. And then, like you said, we do. We follow them. We support their journey. We help them with questions with the application. it's complicated applying for these jobs, the paperwork that's involved and the clearances. And so, you know, we find that for all of our colleagues, I think, and, and you find that in a number of industries, it can be really a challenging process to apply for a job at a really big company. So we want to provide that hands-on support for the students and help them be as successful as they can be.
And now turning a little bit to the broader educational ecosystem at LVHN. Carrie, can you talk about how this connects to the broader workforce development goals at LVHN and Jefferson Health?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Lisa talked a little bit about Healthcare Futures, and we're really excited for that program because it does help a lot with the students that are really school to career ready. And I would say from a LVHN and Department of Education perspective, that work really aligns with what we do as well. So we work more from a youth programming lens with a population that is more school to college ready. As Lisa noted, a nursing workforce shortage, we have a shortage of respiratory therapy. We align very closely with our HR, our talent acquisition teams to understand where the gaps are. And then we work very intentionally to help kind of fill those gaps. So I oversee what's called the Healthcare Academy. It sounds like it would be a brick and mortar place, but it's not. It's really more of a concept. So we work with students of all ages, primarily focusing on high school, where we engage them in opportunities to get into the hospital to better understand healthcare careers and the vast array of healthcare careers that we have. We also work very intentionally with our local colleges, our academic partners, with Thomas Jefferson University being one of them now, in making sure that students have opportunities to fulfill their clinical education. So we have thousands of students that come through each year. And then on the other arm of the Healthcare Academy is working with colleagues and really working with them and what do they need to advance their career? So again, thinking of that lifelong learning, if it is in regards to going back to school, to college, university, things like that, we have an academic career consultant that works very intentionally with colleagues and helping them to better understand the opportunities that they have as a colleague, utilize our tuition reimbursement so that they can go back and achieve what they're hoping to achieve. So really going back to that lifelong learning, we have the school to work, which is the population that Lisa works with. We have the school to college. So my team serves about, I think this past year, about 1,200 students across the larger LVHN geography. So really many of the school districts can access this opportunity.
That's great. It sounds like LVHN has a really robust Department of Education. LVHN has been providing these opportunities for years now. Can you talk to us a little bit about how that has transformed the healthcare workforce?
Sure. I'm happy to talk a little bit about the kind of the historical aspect of the Department of Education, very much funded by Leonard Parker Poole Institute of Health and what was formerly the Dorothy Ryder Poole Healthcare Trust. From a youth programming lens, again, we partner with schools such as career and technical education schools, and we also work with a program called Healthcare Career Pathways. Our relationships in the career and technical education have been established for more than 20 years. So we do see quite a few number of students that were formerly what we call an emerging health professional or an Academy for Medical Science student now walking the floors of LVHN. We see it every day. We also have some very intentional programming where we might engage our youth programming students with, let's say, our nurse extern opportunity. So that in particular at the Department of Education, when a student goes to nursing school after their first year, they can get intentionally connected to an employment opportunity that summer. That helps them to gain clinical experience. They get upskilling with regards to phlebotomy, you know, you name it, cardiac rhythms, things like that. And they have the opportunity to shadow to see maybe where they might want to have a specialty. After their second year, they come back to us and they get to kind of go to that next level where they come on as a patient care partner, a little bit more hands-on patient care under supervision. And then after their third year of nursing school, they're called a nurse extern 3, and they work one-on-one with a nurse. So by the time they get hired, hopefully with us as a graduate nurse, they are more competent, they are more confident, and we've seen a large number get hired. And then from a retention standpoint, we want to make sure that they can get through that first year, two, 3 of nursing. Very similar to education, if you make it as a teacher the first couple of years, you're usually in it for a good number of years. In nursing and lots of healthcare professions, if you make it those first couple of years, you tend to stay on. So we have some programming in place, our nurse residency program, That is a year-long program once they're hired in. That, again, allows for them to spend time with the Department of Education. They have things where they can really engage more intentionally with seasoned nurses to understand the kind of the emotional, social aspect of it. Mm-hmm. They get more additional upskilling, and they also spend time with our career advising and working with our academic career consultant, looking for other opportunities in nursing. So that's one example. The Department of Education hosts well over 2,000 students each year mm-hmm. in clinical rotations throughout the geography. So you name it, PT, OT, speech-language pathology, cardiac rehab, pre-med students, medical students, PA students, pre-PA students. I could go on and on and on. And as Lisa noted earlier, we still get reached out to every day by departments that are saying, we need to advertise for this position. We don't have enough EEG techs, or we don't have enough, I'm going to mess up the name, but the polysonographers or polysom techs. Which are folks that work mostly at night. So again, one of those niche positions that is hard to fill. Mm-hmm. So we work closely with Healthcare Futures and again, our youth programming to try to make that role more understandable. And we've had success. So we ask students, you know, at the end of their experience with us, did they learn anything new? And respiratory therapy and interventional radiology were the top this past year. And prior to that, they just don't know that those careers exist. So I think it's a little bit of awareness and then the intentional connectivity with our hospital and then the intentional connectivity with the academic partner that has the pathway that they need to attain that career.
Sounds like it's really not only a job exposure opportunity, but also a recruitment and retention strategy for the network as well, as you think about the number of positions that need to be filled across our entire geography.
100%. I would add, too, I mean, when we talk about the partnership between the work that Carrie does and the Healthcare Futures program, I think when we bring those students in a foundational role or entry-level role, one of the opportunities they have is to take advantage of tuition reimbursement mm-hmm. and furthering their career if they choose to do that. And that's where it's so great to have this warm handoff over to the Department of Education, where they can learn about additional opportunities in that career pathway. So if they start as a nursing assistant, they can learn how to continue to progress up through to becoming an RN, work with our career counselors, as Carrie mentioned, that are there to support them in that education journey. So it's a really great partnership for these students.
So how do these programs help address equity in education and career access, especially for students from underrepresented communities?
So Healthcare Futures really serves as a vital bridge for students in traditionally underserved high schools to gain access into these entry-level roles in healthcare. It ensures that students who otherwise might be overlooked really have equal access to meaningful career opportunities. And I think LVHN has made incredible progress in increasing access to healthcare services and opportunities for these students. We're really focused on expanding our mission and the geography that we serve and working with new high schools to do that. We also remove traditional barriers to access. So one of the important parts about Healthcare Futures is these internships take place during the school day. Mm-hmm. Transportation is provided by the schools, so we wanted to make sure that every student had equal access to participating rather than only opening that opportunity after school to a student who may have the ability to get to the hospital location. So the schools are great partners in this work, providing that transportation. And as we mentioned too, after the completion of the internships, students receive support for up to a year in job placement, you know, support and counseling. They remain connected with our folks, with their mentors at the health network. So again, we just really want to be by their side in this journey and help them be successful.
So it's almost like an extension of your career counselors, and I don't know what they call them anymore inside the high schools, but yeah. You know, there's not a lot of people doing that work, and you know, they're seeing hundreds of graduating seniors and trying to help them through their, you know, next steps. So it's like the hospital is an extension of that staff.
Exactly. Because it's specialized, right? Like how can it, you know, you have a guidance counselor or a career counselor in school. They can't know everything about every career.
Right.
So we really do work arm in arm with those folks to help students be successful and understand the opportunities that are available.
When you think about Allentown, Allen High School is right up the street from our 17th mm-hmm. Street campus,
yep.
right? And so thinking about how if something like this did not exist, there'd be a whole world of jobs right up the street that students may not know anything about, right? So creating that exposure in something that's geographically right around the corner.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They didn't, you know, we hear that all the time. Our Allen kids are often the kids that come to 17th Street, and once they're inside and learning about all those jobs, and they're excited, yeah, and they can see themselves there as part of the staff. And I think that's a big part of this work too, mm-hmm, is feeling like, I can see myself doing this. This is a family. I feel supported here, you know, and having that support and reassurance, I think, as you're taking that next step is really valuable for kids.
Yeah, absolutely. Carrie, what are some of the strategies you employ to ensure that all students from districts and colleges across the Lehigh Valley and our larger footprint have access to training and education initiatives? How many schools would you say that we partner with, and are you intentional about sort of where those partnerships are?
Yeah, that's a great question, and one that we think about often from a equity perspective and also from a resource perspective. So I have two people on my team that are education consultants that do this work across the whole geography. So really, when we think about it, we try to scale. We try to get the messaging out and as best we can. You mentioned kind of the extension to the guidance counselor or career counselors in schools. We offer programming called Participate, Simulate, Educate, where we actually do work with teachers, administrators, guidance counselors in schools to educate them to all of the opportunities in healthcare so that they could better inform students. Mm-hmm. That's one way that we can potentially scale the messaging. Additionally, we have our CTEs, our career and technical education schools, really serve every school district in our larger community. So when you think of, let's just go with Lehigh Career and Technical Institute, they have 9 sending school districts.
Wow.
So we can serve students that they have, and we use the term triage just to keep it healthcare focused, that have already kind of done that triaging work for us. They've identified students that are interested in healthcare careers broad, that way that we can intentionally bring them in and connect them to the professional pathways and then, again, to the academic pathways to get to what they want to do. So really for us, it's scaling. To get to the districts that we don't maybe have those really intentional partnerships with, it's also offering opportunities throughout the year to bring them in for pre-professional workshops. So for instance, we just ran 2 days of what we call our Safer Community event. And at our Safer Community event, we have 1 day focused on high school students and 1 day focused on college students. And really the opportunity is for them to understand how our healthcare workers, our medical toxicologists, our certified recovery specialists, how we interact with law enforcement, how we interact with psychiatry, behavioral health, occupational therapy, how all of those professions work together to serve, you know, people that are struggling with substance use disorder so that they can see how the community works together. So that's one way to kind of address that equity piece, stigma reduction language. They see, they hear, they do from the professionals. And we hope that that language then carries with them back to school and back to their future, you know, professional career in healthcare. So that's one way that we've kind of addressed. So scaling is something that we talk about each and every day. Mm-hmm. And I know Lisa, same thing. This work is really important. We find this work really important. And in order for it to continue, we have to have some resources and infrastructure. I love the infrastructure that's in place for students from, you know, leaving high school to getting into careers, because that's a big missing piece. When they leave us and they leave high school and they move on to college, we do tend to lose quite a few because they don't have that same level of infrastructure and support that they may need to be successful in a college career or an academic pathway or in right to work, because they just don't have the resources necessary to complete applications,
right,
understand, you know, how to put your best foot forward in an interview. So I think all of those resources are really important to have.
What I love about what you said is that we talked a lot about cross-sector partnership, right? Mm-hmm. And that we all have to work together across the different industries, and everything that you just said sort of points to that, right? So within healthcare, it's such a team-based industry as it is, right? And sometimes it's hard enough to know all the people you need to go to within a large system or a large network. But then thinking about how healthcare partners with the education sector, with the law enforcement sector, and being able to really work together to create greater awareness, but also make sure that we are working towards the same goals in the end and showing folks how we do that together. So I think that's really good that we are a part of that. So this is a question for both of you. We talked a little bit about the warm handoff that happens between you and the programs, but how do you see your work aligning and what opportunity exists for further integration in the future?
I think we're aligned in that we do connect, and we have students that have gone from, I think as Lisa noted earlier, they may have spent their junior year in the Healthcare Futures Program. Then they were interested and engaged and thought, you know what, I'm going to join the Emerging Health Professions Program, which is a senior year program and a dual enrollment program. And then they ended up going, working per diem with us and going to a local college towards nursing. So I think there's that really easy connection. My other thought with just how we can more intentionally work together is just having the students interact with the professional development, right? So having our talent acquisition team come in and help them all with resume writing. I think there's a lot to say in bringing students as peers to work together with a little bit of guidance. So I think there's opportunity there, workplace etiquette. So I think, again, scaling and resources, there's only so many people that we have. And if we can kind of align there, I think it will get that messaging a little bit further.
Absolutely. And I think over the past 2 years, too, we've worked really hard to kind of collectively approach our school partners about these opportunities. I know Carrie and I are both leaving here today and going to a meeting with one of our large school districts in the Lehigh Valley to talk about Healthcare Futures and the Healthcare Career Academy and sort of how we can help support all of their students, regardless of the pathway that they're on. So I think working with our school partners around, you know, the different vision and opportunities that the programs have is really important. So we always, you know, we come to it and approach it as a team.
Yeah.
And I think our students feel that as well.
I'm sure that's helpful to the districts. I'm sure it's hard for them to know all that is out there or available to them. So coming together as a united group, I think, probably makes that all a lot easier.
So what's next for the Healthcare Futures program?
So for Healthcare Futures, you know, our primary focus is continuing to strengthen and grow our work with the Allentown School District and local schools in Allentown. So the program started with very generous funding from the Leonard Parker Poole Institute for Health, which we're really happy to have as a partner. So we will continue to align with the school district in Allentown to provide those opportunities. We're also looking at other funding sources to expand the work to other underserved high schools in areas of LVHN's footprint, like in the Hazleton School District, in some of our Carbon County School Districts, where our hospitals are experiencing, you know, the same shortages of entry-level healthcare folks. And so we want to help those school districts have a pathway, you know, into the workforce there as well.
I know that there's going to be a lot of people who say, how do I get into these programs? What does that look like? So what advice do you have for students, for parents, educators, and that you want to share and let them know about how to get involved?
Sure. I mean, I think the easiest way is to go to our website, lbhn.org, and you can really just type in students, and there's high school programs that pop up. So Healthcare Futures is there, as well as Healthcare Career Pathways and our variety of relationships that we have with career and technical education. That's one piece. There's also the opportunity to volunteer. So we have a teen volunteer aspect of it. So if the student is, again, interested and engaged in healthcare, that's an opportunity to volunteer and get to understand maybe not the candy striper aspect of it, but definitely, you know, getting to be in the space and see, smell, hear, which we find is really important because it does help you to determine kind of those next steps.
See,
hear, and smell, all of it. We think that those are probably great starting points for anybody interested. If they are a colleague, we also each year offer Take Your Child to Work Day, where it's a very structured program for 9th through 12th grade students. So we ask that moms and dads and guardians bring their students to us, and we will show them kind of a variety of opportunities. And our colleagues are excited to show off, you know, what they do for a living as well. So I think those are a couple of places.
Yeah, absolutely. I forget, if your school district isn't a partner school district right now with Healthcare Futures, Carrie brought up a great point. There are observation policies. You can join us. And so if you're interested in, regardless of what the career is, we can connect a student, individual students with shadowing in that role.
Great. Believe it or not, we are out of time. This was a great conversation. Thank you, Carrie and Lisa, for joining us. Thank you, my co-host, Sam. We hope you'll tune in next month for November's episode on belonging and civic muscle.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to WDIY and the Wellbeing Report. Have a great evening.
This has been the Wellbeing Report on WDIY. Thank you for listening. This episode and others are archived and available online at lppih.org and on wdiy.org and also can be accessed on your favorite podcast streaming platform.